This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Senate will come to order. The prayer of the day is offered by Reverend Sam Hansky, and the Pledge of Allegiance is led by Senate Page Sequoia Alamoreno from Chamberlain.
Let us pray. O Lord God, I thank you that you have safely returned these senators to this chamber and ask that you would continue to grant them safety as they travel to their homes. As they conclude their activities in this session, give them wisdom to see how they might keep improving the lives of your people. Let them know, both individually and collectively, the impact that their efforts have made. Bless them and all your people, that we may live peacefully in the great state of South Dakota. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Boland, Breitling, Kamak, Castleberry, Crabtree, Kerr, Diedrich, Duhamel, Duvall, Foster, Freimuller, Greenfield, Heinert, Hunoff, Johns, Johnson, Klum, Kolbeck, Maher, Nessebaugh, Nordstrom, Otten, Rohl, Rush, Schoenbeck, Shane, Fismith, Stalzer, Steinhauer, Sutton, Simmons, Tobin, Wheeler, Wick, and Zickman. We have a quorum, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 37th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Senator Schoenbeck, Chair.
Comments on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Senator Duvall. Granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you will look up in the gallery, you will see some actually history-making young ladies from the Pierre T.F. Riggs High School. 2 years ago, the High School Activities Association sanctioned girls wrestling. And for the first year, they had Class A and Class B, separate divisions and also a little separation because of COVID. This year, they had everyone wrestle together, and these are the state champion wrestling teams. They achieved a team score of 146 points, followed by Canton with 129 points and Spearfish with 83. Anyhow, their coaches are Matt Thorson, Travis Heasley, and volunteer coach Chad Urig. Team members are Sydney Urig, Nevaeh Bade, Danny Rinksmeyer, Hattie Baldwin, Gianna Stanglin, Abby Lewis, Ireland Templeton, Emily Larson, Marley Shorter, and Sierra McFarling. Congratulations, ladies.
Welcome to the Senate. Communications.
I have several communications here from the governor, and I'm not going to read them all, but the first one is the veto letter that was delivered on March 25th on Senate Bill 151, and you'll find that, the complete letter online. And then I also have several letters from the governor regarding that she approved Senate bills, and they've been delivered to the Secretary of State. And all that information is online, so I won't read all the letters. We'll put them in the journal.
Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Joint Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 213 and returns the same with the recommendation that said bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Gene Hunoff, co-chair, and Chris Carr, co-chair.
Consideration of executive vetoes and recommendations.
The Senate proceeds to the reconsideration of Senate Bill 151 pursuant to the veto of the governor, as provided in Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota.
Comments on the reconsideration of Senate Bill 151. Are there any remarks? Senator Roll.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, I spent the weekend trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to say. You know, how do you go from 19 to 24? You obviously have to change up your pitch. You obviously have to point something out. You have to do something different. And I sat all weekend trying to think how I'm going to explain to a room full of people that have never had a charge how that charge affects you for the rest of your life. I've never had the charge, which makes it hard for me to be the person to sell it to because it doesn't have the same authentic feel. I got a ton of emails on this bill throughout the entire process, even leading up to yesterday. But there was one email in particular when I was going back that I'd like to read to you guys and let it just kind of speak for itself. Senator Roll, I just listened to the House pass your expungement bill. I wanted to thank you for bringing it and let you know the huge impact it'll have on my life. I was an average student that graduated high school. I played sports and maintained a 3.0 GPA. Growing up in a single-family household, my mom always put an emphasis on education. After high school, I decided to take a year off so I could build up financial resources before deciding if I wanted to enlist in the Army like my uncle or go to college. I got a job right out of high school and started working. My high school friends and I had a bonfire that year to celebrate the 4th of July, as many of us were going to college. We were drinking and smoking when the sheriff showed up. Most of the group received underage consumption of alcohol charges and had to call their parents to come pick them up. Two of us were arrested for the possession of marijuana. I remember how upset my mom was when I was arrested. She was embarrassed. I pled guilty, not knowing how much this would affect my life for the years to come. A few months after I got off probation, I tried to register with the guards. I figured it would provide me with extra income while also allowing me to serve my community. This income would allow me to attend college with a part-time job. I didn't know I wouldn't be accepted based off a past charge since I had already served my sentence, but I was. That was a hard thing to accept. At this point in my life, I didn't have the resources to attend college without a stable income. I have now worked in the same position at the same company for nearly 16 years. I've never applied for advancement, even though supervisors have encouraged me to do so multiple times. I have been afraid that they will do a background check, which might not only cost me the advancement, but could jeopardize my current job as well. It's hard to have faith in a system that kicks you when you are down. I've often pondered why a system would punish a victimless crime for so long. Your bill has given me a second chance that I have been praying for. Thank you so much for fighting for people like me who have made a mistake but shouldn't have our lives defined by it. You have given me faith in a system that I didn't know would ever change, and I am eternally grateful for your mercy. He then goes on to sign it, quoting Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Thank you again for your service. I appreciate what you have done. Josh, District 2.
Further remarks on the veto of Senate Bill 151. Senator Heinert.
Let me talk up you, Mr. President. You know, I view this bill and the importance of it through employment lens. You know, we have many people who are excluded from employment because of a past conviction. They aren't drug dealers. They aren't out there actively still engaging in use of marijuana. But it's just like the story the good senator from District 1 just told. And that replicates itself all over South Dakota. So if we want to talk about removing some of those help wanted signs that we see in all of our communities, then we should support the override of this veto. Because we have many good people who are barred from working because of a past conviction. And that, to me, is wrong. This bill is a good bill. I would hope we would support the override. Pilamia Aplo.
Further remarks? Senator Smith.
Thank you, sir. As I've shared earlier, Senate Bill 151 is about forgiveness. And for the purposes of this chamber, I want to talk to you about the greatest president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He was a man of humility, judgment, and incredible forgiveness. You know, three of the people that he ran against in the presidential election of 1860, Salmon Chase from Ohio and Senator William Seward from New York and Judge Bates from St. Louis, they had nothing but unkind words to say about him when he was running. President Lincoln, being a man of great wisdom, realized the importance of having these people help save the Union. And he appointed them to his cabinet. A couple years later, he appointed to the Secretary of War, now the Secretary of Defense, a guy by the name of Stanton. Stanton called him a long-armed baboon. And Lincoln forgave him. Not because he asked for forgiveness, but Lincoln just gave it to him. Even when Mr. Lincoln prosecuted the Civil War on the forgiveness side, and that's what Senate Bill 151 is all about, forgiveness. Generals constantly asked Mr. Lincoln to go along with the execution of deserters. Because, as Lincoln said, they just had cowardly legs. But he asked them to commute them. And the generals were angry because Lincoln, 9 out of 10s, commuted their sentences. He wanted them to live. Forgiveness. Not make an example out of people. And the reason why I come back to this whole idea of forgiveness is because I look around at the broken world today, and the one thing that we are missing is a whole bunch of forgiveness. Stand our ground. We're right. Everybody ought to be as right as us, or left as us. Depends on who you ask. You know, and I'll be done shortly here, Mr. President. Mr. Lincoln's second inaugural address, which he gave a month before he was assassinated, when the leaders from the North were saying that we need to take the generals and all those people who supported the Southern resurrection, we need to put them on trial and execute them. We need to make an example out of them. This man with great judgment and great wisdom said, no, we're going to forgive them. We're going to move on. And in that second inaugural address, Mr. Lincoln said, with malice toward none and with charity for all. Malice, vindictiveness, animosity, charity, not money, but kindness and tolerance. And that's what this bill is all about to me. People who've had minor indiscretions in their lives, they don't need to be marked by it for the rest of their lives with this yoke around their neck, holding them back from proper employment, achieve what the best they can do. They have to be worried about something they did when they were 20, 21 years old. I don't know about you, but I did a lot of interesting things when I was 20, 22 years old. People could talk, but I've paid them. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I know that there are a lot of law and order people in this chamber, and I honor you for law and order. But this is one of those moments in the wisdom that the pastor spoke about as we gaveled in with this idea of forgiveness. It's the old saying, and that's what I'll end with, by Alexander Pope. To err is human. To forgive is divine. Please support 151. Thank you.
Further remarks? Further remarks? Senator Duhamel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Prior convictions were for acts illegal at the time and should remain so. Recreational marijuana is illegal in South Dakota and under federal law and should show up on a background check along with other illegal acts. Removing convictions from public record implies that no lawbreaking occurred, and that's not the case. This bill is not about forgiveness. It's about transparency, or lack of transparency. Employers, landlords, and the public deserve to have all the information about convictions for illegal acts. They can decide if it's relevant. If it's really no big deal, the employer won't care and it won't be impediment to hiring. But if it does matter to that employer or that landlord, maybe the person wants to go into law enforcement or the military, shouldn't they be allowed to know and make that decision? Class 2 misdemeanors already go away after 5 years. That's for speeding, no driver's license, drug paraphernalia. Class 1 misdemeanors are not speeding tickets, and there is a difference. And all class misdemeanors should be treated the same on a background check. Why this special carve-out, special treatment for marijuana? There is a process to seal records. Suspended imposition is a situation where the court can withhold a finding of guilt. Only then can the defendant honestly say down the road that he or she had never been convicted of that crime. It's also not hard to go about the process for clemency. You can clear one's record. With the Dugard administration, it became an online process for clemency. You don't need an attorney. The instructions are online. It's free, and the Department of Corrections is available to help. Expedited applications do not need an in-person hearing. And right now, they tell me they are hearing 8 clemency cases per month with no barriers. There is an effective process for the removal of nonviolent Class 1 misdemeanors. Senate Bill 151 puts the burden on the state and the taxpayer to remove something from a person's record that they earned themselves. The burden to remove lawmaking from a person's criminal record should be on that person. Please vote no on Senate Bill 151. Keep transparency in all our records.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Rush.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, I've probably been involved in prosecuting more criminal cases than anybody else here in my 12 years as a state's attorney and 18 years on the bench. I've seen thousands of these cases. The South Dakota Supreme Court has repeatedly set out the criteria for sentencing. And one of the important criteria that they have addressed in all of these cases is the issue of rehabilitation. And that's what the courts are supposed to look at in imposing sentences. Whether somebody is rehabilitated is a difficult thing to determine, but I would submit that this bill, which allows somebody to have this put off their record if they've been clear of any offenses for 5 years, is an appropriate and workable way of determining whether they've been rehabilitated. And if they've been rehabilitated by demonstrating that they can have stayed out of trouble for 5 years, I think that then the forgiveness that Senator Smith talked about is an appropriate thing to affect those people who have been truly rehabilitated. If they've been rehabilitated, why do we want that to be on their record years later, preventing them from the employment opportunities and other kinds of opportunities that they may have available to them? If they've been rehabilitated, which I think 5 years of a clean record shows that they have been, then let's pass this so that they can get this taken off their record.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Boland.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Well, very briefly, I would just say this. In our own personal dealings with each other and with just our normal course of life, we have a standard of forgiveness that we can internalize and use with each other in a wide variety of ways, and each one standard may be a little bit different. But I would submit this to the body that the When we as elected public officials, we need to be very, very cautious when we seek to impose perhaps our own standards and our own ideas in regards to forgiveness in these type of legal matters. We need to approach this with a great amount of caution, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Our personal standards are one thing, but our duties and responsibilities as elected officials are others. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Foster.
Thank you. So, yes, personal forgiveness as a legislator also extends into the votes that we are casting. And this will determine a person's livelihood for the rest of their lives, not just past that 5 years, but on to for the rest of their lives of how they can provide for their family, not just limited at a minimum wage job. So by passing this, not only gives forgiveness, but it also gives them the economic opportunity, probably the economic opportunity that is needed for them to have a stake in society and to go for jobs that they would not otherwise qualify for. So thank you.
Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Senator Roll speaks in closing? Hearing none, Senator Roll in closing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to touch on a few things, 20 states have this process currently specifically for cannabis. 16 of them are automatic and 4 make people apply, but they have conditions that if you apply and meet these conditions, you're automatically granted it. I also want to bring up, we spoke about how Class 2 misdemeanors currently come off, and we heard there were speeding tickets. They do include speeding tickets. They also include intentional destruction to property. They include theft. They include public indecency. They include drinking under the age of 21, and they also include selling liquor to somebody that's a minor. I would argue that all those charges are significantly more severe and have a greater harm to society than an individual that has a cannabis charge. And finally, just addressing the clemency part of it, I got a feeling I would be on the no-fly list as far as getting a clemency. And quite frankly, based off some of the bills I've seen this year, I would assume I'm not the only person in this chamber that might have a no-fly zone as far as getting a clemency. I think fairness is paramount. Fairness is important. These people have showed that they are willing to change. These people have showed that they are not harming society. I think it's important that we give them the chance that they're asking for. We know this affects at least 30,000 people since 2007. And we also know, based on other states that have done this, per 3,000 people that get this off their record, it has an economic impact over 2 years of $7.1 million. That's a huge economic impact. It's holding these people's lives back. And I think it's really important to be able to address that. Obviously, we've heard of scenarios where people have started with cannabis and gone on to other things. Those people wouldn't qualify. This is someone that literally one time got arrested for it. They did their penalty. They served their time. They went 5 years without getting in trouble. And in many cases, it's much longer. I'd appreciate your support on the bill. Thank you.
Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, shall Senate Bill 151 pass, the veto of the governor notwithstanding? A yes vote is in favor of Senate Bill 151. A no vote supports the veto. Secretary, this is a two-thirds majority vote. Members in favor vote aye. Those opposed nay. Secretary will please call the roll.
Senator Boland.
No.
Brightling. Kamak?
No.
Castleberry?
No.
Crabtree?
Aye.
Curd? Excused. Diedrich?
Aye.
Duhamel?
No.
Duvall?
No.
Foster?
Aye.
Freimuller?
No.
Greenfield? No.
No.
Heinert?
Aye.
Hunoff?
No.
Johns?
Aye.
Johnson? Klum?
No.
Kolbeck?
No.
Maher?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Nordstrup?
No.
Otten?
Aye.
Roll?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
No.
Shane Fish?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Stalzer?
No.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Sutton?
No.
Simmons?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Wick?
No.
Zickman? Mr. President, there are 17 yeas, 17 nays, and one excused.
So the bill not having received an affirmative vote of two-thirds majority of the members elect, the president declares the bill lost, sustaining the governor's veto. Today's doctor of the day is Noel Shequin, MD, originally from Elk Point, South Dakota. Dr. Shequin is a family medicine physician who recently retired from the Sanford Clinic in Pierre. Dr. Shequin has been president of the Pierre District Medical Society for several years. He also is an alternate SDSMA policy counselor for the Pierre District. He received his MD from the University of South Dakota School of Medicine. Dr. Shequin completed his residency at the University of Oklahoma Tulsa Medical College and fellowship at the University of Oklahoma in Oklahoma City. Welcome back. Thank you again for your service. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 213, an act to revise Senate Bill 60, the General Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2022, as previously enacted in the 97th session of the South Dakota Legislature. Senator Kamak moves that Senate Bill 213 be placed on today's calendar.
Comments on that motion? Hearing none, the motion then is to place Senate Bill 213 on today's calendar. Members in favor of that motion vote aye. Those opposed, nay. This is a two-thirds majority vote. Oh, that's right. We had this conversation. As you were. Members in favor vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll. Voice vote. All right. Well, I'm batting 1,000. Members in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 213, an act to revise Senate Bill 60, the General Appropriations Act for fiscal year 2022, as previously enacted in the 97th session of the South Dakota Legislature.
Senate Bill 213, having had a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, if you remember, when we departed here, we voted on Senate Bill 60, which was a supplemental bill to fiscal year 22. At that time, we had allocated $10 million of general funds to long-term care. We recognize that COVID has caused some serious hardships on those facilities in that recruiting of staff, in getting residents back there, and more importantly, they are providing care to some of our most vulnerable individuals in the state of South Dakota. When we made that recommendation and you passed that bill, it was the thought process was we wanted to acknowledge that some facilities carry more Medicaid individuals than others, and we were looking at a way to be able to supplement and recognize those. And so that's why we had done the general bill and had done some formula things. Since that point in time, we now have received information that we can use federal dollars as a match for Medicaid to do this, and what that would do was to provide everyone that takes Medicaid patients with an increase. And so what I'm asking in this bill is that we come back, we add federal authority of $20 million to add to the 10, which is a total of $30 million that would go to long-term care facilities. How that would work would be this way. From July 1st of 2021 through June 30th of 2022, facilities will receive an increase in their reimbursement of approximately 20.3% for their Medicaid rates. Then, at the end of that time, that one-time funding that we are requesting in this addition of the $20 million goes away, and on July 1st of 2022, facilities will go back to their base rate, and we have given them a 6% increase, so that base rate would increase from $175 to approximately $185 per bed day. And then that would be the formula. So we have not touched the base. We have not increased any general fund dollars. What we're trying to do is give them this one-time assistance to help them to navigate. They're going to have a new methodology done over the course of summer to help sustain them and to develop a business model that will continue for their sustaining in the world of providing long-term care. So I ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks on Senate Bill 213. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 213. Since this is an amendment to previous year's general bill, it only requires a simple majority. Members in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will please call a roll.
Senator Boland.
Aye.
Breitling.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Castleberry.
Aye.
Crabtree.
Aye.
Curd. Is excused. Diedrich.
Aye.
Duhamel.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Foster.
Aye.
Freimuller.
No.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Heinert.
Aye.
Panoff.
Aye.
Johns. Johns?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Klum?
Aye.
Kolbeck?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Nessebe?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Auden?
Aye.
Roll?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Sutton?
Aye.
Simmons?
Aye.
Tobin?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye.
Wick?
Aye.
Zickman?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 33 yeas, one nay, and one excused.
Senate Bill 213, having received an affirmative vote of the majority of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Well, we have caught up on all the business that we can in the Senate for right now. Obviously, the House is considering a couple vetoes, and there's rumblings there might be other issues coming forward from there. So rather than recess to a time certain, we will just be at ease waiting on the results of the debates and action in the floor. So the Senate is at ease. No objection. We will revert to order business five, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Senate has, pursuant to the Governor's veto of Senate Bill 151, sustained that veto and delivered the same to His Excellency, the Secretary of State, for filing at 12:10 p.m. March 28th. Respectfully submitted, Lee Schoenbeck, Chair. And, Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure also respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bill 213 and finds the same correctly enrolled. Senator Schoenbeck, Chair.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit Senate Bill 213, which has passed the House without change. Respectfully, Pat Miller, Chief Clerk.
And now I believe I have some bills to sign. Just one. The President is signing an act revised Senate Bill 60, the General Appropriations Act from fiscal year 2022, as previously enacted in the 97th session of the South Dakota Legislature. We will get that message to the House, and then it has to be taken to the Governor's office for signing. So And then we'll be able to do our final ceremony, adjourning sine die, when that all happens. So we'll be at ease. Senate will return to order. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that Senate Bill 213 was delivered to Her Excellency the Governor for her approval at 1:10 p.m. today. Respectfully submitted, Senator Schoenbeck, Chair.
I think we are ready for a closing prayer. Our chaplain for the day has left, so I will say the closing prayer. Please stand. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pause to thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunities you've put before us, and Lord, for your wisdom and the decisions we made for South Dakota. We thank you for the way you've blessed our state. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue those blessings. We are needy people. We could use a great deal of rain in our state, Lord, so we would pray for rain. And we'd pray for your continued guidance, pray for journey mercies as we travel home. Lord, we're just grateful for the way you've blessed us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. He's not there.
They will be another minute. The speaker's in his office signing reports or some such thing. He'll be out momentarily. Madam Secretary.
Senator Kamak moves that the Senate do now adjourn sine die.
All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Senate is adjourned sine die.